your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. We're going to read a very well-known portion of Scripture. I just want to read a few verses, starting with verse 12. My destination this morning is to get to verse 22. But we need to look at the situation surrounding what Jesus said. In verse 22, he tells his disciples to have faith in God. Now, in verse 12, it picks up the account. It says, now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. This is talking about Jesus and his disciples. The next day when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. That's all I want to read for now, just those two or three verses there. Because what happened there is Jesus went on into Jerusalem, and then the next morning as they were coming out of Bethany, you know, they were lodging at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They lived in Bethany, and that's where Jesus and his disciples were lodging and spending a few nights. And in the morning they went back into the city of Jerusalem, and Peter made a comment about the fig tree. So I just want to look at this fig tree this morning, and I want to answer a couple of questions which I've always had about this portion of reading. The Bible says this, and we need to listen carefully to the words. In fact, I'll put it on the screen and you can see it. This is the King James Version. It says, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And as I sat down yesterday morning with my Bible and I turned up this scripture, immediately a couple of questions sprang to my mind. It's the question that I've always had when I've read this scripture. So I thought, well, because I'm questioning what's going on, I'm going to dig into it and just see what's being said here. The first question is this, and scripture here gives us the answer. Why did Jesus look for figs? Well, the Bible tells us that he was hungry. He got up in the morning. Unfortunately, the Bible doesn't tell us the time of day that it is. So it could be that as Jesus was used to doing, he got up early in the morning and went to pray. Maybe he skipped breakfast. Maybe he'd even skipped lunch. I don't know. This could be the afternoon when this account took place. All the Bible tells it was the next day. So it could be, but Jesus, one thing we do know is that the scripture tells us in verse 12 that Jesus was hungry. And so, as they were journeying out of Bethany, going into the city of Jerusalem, they passed on the road, and Jesus saw ahead of it a fig tree. And probably, in his mind, he said, a fig tree. I'll grab a couple of figs that have sustained me at least until a bit later on. So that's the reason he went to the fig tree in the first place. The second question I have then is this. If, as the Bible says in verse 13, the bottom part of this, the last line of this verse says, that it was not the time for figs, or not the time of figs, or the season, as New King James says, it was not the season for figs. Why then was Jesus looking on a fig tree for figs? Well, let me read to you, before I answer that question, this same verse from the Amplified Translation. And seeing in the distance a fig tree covered with leaves, he went to see if he could find any fruit on it. For in the fig tree, the fruit appears at the same time as the leaves. But when he came up to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the fig season had not yet come. Now that scripture seems to contradict itself. Because it says, and I have no reason to doubt that the translators who did their, put together the Amplified Translation, they've done their homework, they've looked into this. And in the scripture, it says that the leaves appear at the same time as the fruit, or the fruit appears at the same time as the leaves on the fig tree. But then it finishes off, the fig season had not yet come. So why, if on one hand I say that it's not the fig season, and yet on the other hand I say that he went to look and the figs come with the leaves, and Jesus went there expecting to take a fig from the tree. And then, if it was not the season for figs, should Jesus have expected to find figs? There's another question that people might have. Well, so we can understand, as I said, I'm trying to get to verse 22, but I want to just answer these couple of questions, because these are problem questions that we sometimes ask when we read the scriptures. We read things and it doesn't seem to line up with our understanding. The scripture says it was not the season for figs. Well, if you actually look at that in the way it's meant to be read, or the way it's meant to have been translated, it was not yet the due season for figs. Or in other words, it was not yet harvest time for figs. The figs appear with the leaves. The fruit and the leaves come together in the fig tree. And because Jesus saw a fig tree, he would have expected to see fruit. And so he went up to this fruit tree, this fig tree, expecting to take a couple of figs from it, or get some fruit from it, but he found no figs, just leaves. Another reason why Jesus was expected to find figs on it, because it was not yet harvest time. In other words, they hadn't been by and cropped the tree. They hadn't taken the fruit from it. So it would still have been, should have been, fully laden with fruit. But Jesus found nothing but leaves. This tree was a fruitless tree. Just to give you a little bit of background into the time, this was, the Bible tells us, a few days before Passover. So we can pinpoint almost to the exact time of year when this took. It would have been end of March, beginning of April. That raises another question. Well, why are things growing in March and April? Well, it's different climate in Israel. You know, we can't bring it into Great Britain, because we have winters that go on until April, May sometimes, you know. It was harvest time. The harvest began, if you look at the book of Leviticus, during Passover week. The first fruits were harvested at Passover time and brought to the temple and brought and offered to God as a thanksgiving offering, the first fruits. And the harvest continued for 50 days. Seven Sabbaths, 50 days, and ended at Pentecost, or another name for the Feast of Pentecost is the Feast of Harvest, when they gave thanks to God for the first crop that had been brought in. And then at the end of the year, at the Feast of Ingathering, or we know that as the Feast of Tabernacles, which is perhaps the time of the year when we celebrate harvest, that was a time for a general thanksgiving to God for everything that had been brought in over the summer months. You know, thanking God that He'd provided for them, that He'd sustained them, He'd kept them, they'd had a good harvest, they'd had good weather, good crops, and that God was going to keep them into the next year. But at Pentecost time, it was a thanksgiving for the first. It was like, you know, this offering that was brought at Passover time, the first fruit, was like the tithe coming on. It was the first of the crop, and it was given to God. It was weighed and offered to God as an offering. So it was harvest time, but because Passover hadn't quite come, wasn't quite the day of Passover, there would have been fruit on the tree. He would have been expected to get fruit. He would have taken two or three figs and just satisfied his hunger. But he said, because he found nothing but leaves, he said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. This was a fruitless tree which was non-productive. Now the next morning, Jesus and his disciples are going back into Jerusalem. Don't forget, this was Passover time, and everybody, certainly all the males, had been commanded by God to come to the Passover feast. You know, they had to come and worship God and celebrate the Passover. So there were a lot of people in Jerusalem at this time, and people were making pilgrimages to Jerusalem from all over Israel, and Jews from other nations surrounding were making their way to the holy city to worship God at this special occasion. And so Jesus' disciples were no different, and they were staying just a few miles outside of the city of Jerusalem at Bethany. You know, and they'd been there, and they'd gone into Jerusalem the day before. Now, this next morning, they're going back into the city of Jerusalem. And verse 20 says this, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering what happened the day before, he said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, he says, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. The previous day, Jesus found nothing on the tree but leaves. There was no fruit. You know, he was expecting to find fruit on that tree. You know, God expects you and me to be fruitful. Not to be like that fig tree which are not fruitful, wasn't a fruitful tree. When God looks at us, He should expect in our life, evidence in our life that we're bearing fruit. John 15 verse 16 tells us this. Jesus said these words, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you or ordained you that you should go and bear fruit. The moment you gave your life to the Lord, or that's in fact Jesus called you, you didn't call on him. You might think you did, you might think you made that decision, but Jesus was calling you and you just responded to the call. He says, you did not choose me. He says, but I have chosen you. And I have chosen you for a reason, that you are fruitful. That you bear fruit. Not only that you bear fruit, but that your fruit should remain. It should be lasting fruit. It should be something that lasts. It's not something that's just going to be evident in the first 2 or 3 weeks that you're a Christian and then you never bear fruit again. You've got to be a fruit-bearing tree, if I can use that word, for God. And actually, in fact, if you take the time and read this chapter, chapter 15, John 15, you'll see that Jesus talks about bearing fruit. talks about bearing more fruit. Then he says about bearing much fruit. So it's looking like God's expecting us to be fruitful all the time. See, every season we're bearing fruit. We bear fruit, we bear more fruit, we bear much fruit. And then we bear lasting fruit. You know, that's the progression as you read through John 15. Yeah, how are we to bear fruit? Well, I want to suggest this morning that Jesus answers the question to his disciples. When they looked, they saw a fruitless tree, they saw what Jesus had did. And Peter made this comment, look, that fig tree that you spoke to yesterday is withered and cursed away. It's cursed and withered away. And Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Faith makes us productive in the things of God. Now we preach faith, you hear faith preached a lot, we think, well, you need faith to be healed, yes, that's right. Faith to be delivered, yes, that's right, you put your trust in God. Faith for, you know, these mighty miracles. We tend to major a lot on miracles and healing, and that's not wrong. Jesus said that, he went on to say that in the next verse, he said, look, he said, you can say to the mountain, be removed to be cast into the sea, and if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you don't doubt in your heart, so these things will happen. The mountain will move. And that's a miracle. Moving mountains is a miracle. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about physical things like Everest or, you know, those big mighty mountains. He's talking about the big mountains of difficulties and problems that we face in our life. And he's saying that if we have faith in God, we can say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it will obey us.
Thank you, Lord.
But I want to remind us this morning that we need faith in God. We need faith in God just to be saved. We need faith in God that when we pray, when we witness, we need faith in God. When we come and worship God, we need faith in Him. When we open our mouth in praise and in testimony, we need faith. We need to do it in faith, because another scripture says this, if it's not of faith, it's of sin. We've got to be of faith. We've got to be faith people. Because that makes us productive. We've got to believe that what when we give a word of testimony that the people are going to receive it. When we witness to our friends and our neighbours, that they're going to respond. That seed's going to be planted in their heart, it's going to grow. We say, we talk about seed bringing forth fruit. When we give an offering, we've got to have faith that when we put our money into the offering, that God, as it's been mentioned this morning, that as we give, it will be given unto us. You know, if we don't believe that God's going to get it back to us, bless us, then it's almost like we're wasting our money. A lot of people think money given in offerings is wasted money. Well, I was going to... No, offering, money we give in offerings is never wasted. It's like time spent in prayer. It's never wasted. Because it's being invested in the kingdom of God. And when we invest in the kingdom of God, we've got to expect God to take our investment and use it. You know, when we come and praise Him, we've got our faith that God's going to receive our praise and our worship. Whatever we do for God, we've got to live by faith. That's what the scripture says. Several times in the scriptures it says these words, the just shall live by faith. We live by faith. It's not something we do just to get our needs met. It's not something we put into operation so to get a healing. We live by faith. Every day of our, every breath we breathe, to be breathed in faith.
Amen.
That's how we live, and that's what makes us productive as Christians. You know, if we are living that type of faith life, then fruit cannot help but grow on our branches. You know, we will be displaying fruit. We will not be fruitless. How do I know that? Because of what it says in John 15. And I'll just finish with these verses this morning. In John's Gospel chapter 15, now we haven't read the scripture, but I have touched on it and said that we're told to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. But in verses 1 to 8, let me just read these 8 verses to you this morning in wrapping this up. Jesus said these words, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." So there, in those 3 verses, we see that it's God's will for us that we're fruitful. God's expecting us to be fruitful. He said every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes off the tree. He takes it away. And if the tree does bear fruit, then he tends it, he dresses it, he prunes it, he looks after it so that it continues to bear more fruit, be fruitful. Then Jesus said these words in verse 4. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." That word there, abide, means to live or to remain or to be united. You know, being united, being in Christ Jesus, being in him. It says, if we abide in him, if we don't abide in him, Jesus says here, we cannot be fruitful. You cannot bear fruit. You cannot bear fruit on your own. You've got to be attached to the vine, who is Jesus. Jesus said these, says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." You know, if you cut a branch off a tree, you do not kill the tree. You kill the branch. If you take the branch away from the tree, the branch will die, but the tree will remain good. So the only way we're going to remain good is if we stay attached to the tree, stay attached to the Lord. And that's what this scripture is saying. It says, "Because I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I, it bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Why is faith productive? Because it draws the life from God. It draws, the very life of God into the branches. If you think of it as a tree, we're the branches. And that's where the fruit grows, on the branches. It doesn't grow on the tree. Fruit grows on the branches. Leaves grow on the branches. They don't grow on the trunk. But they get all their life from the trunk. You know, as the life of the tree comes up from the roots, up through the trunk, it goes out into the branches and produces fruit. And produces leaf. And then whatever else the tree might give up. So to abide in him, to live, to remain, to be united in him. And we do that by living in faith. Faith in God. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burnt. Now listen to these words, verse 7 and 8. So that if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Where have we heard those words? You know, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be. That's exactly what Jesus went on to teach his disciples when they are looking at that fig tree that had withered up. He said, look, he said, have faith in God. He said, if you've got faith in God, you'll be able to do, as I did to this fig tree, you'll be able to move mountains. You know, whatever you ask for, whatever you desire, it shall be done for you. Yeah. That was the teaching Jesus went on to teach. And it's all to do with having faith in God, abiding in him, That's how we remain fruitful. That's how we stay fruitful. Faith is reliance on God. It's trusting in God. Being fully persuaded that God will not only meet your needs, but He will be your life.
Thank you, Lord.
That everything you've got comes from Him. The very breath you breathe in the morning when you wake up is God-given. The fact that we wake up to a brand new day. Now, we don't know what the day is going to hold. It might not be good for some of us. Others, it may be a great day. But that new day is from God. You know, the Old Testament puts it like this, and we've quoted it in the past, in the last few months. You know, that His mercy is new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is being full of faith. Fully persuaded, abiding in Him. You know that account in the scriptures about the fig tree wasn't there. You know, as I began to look at it yesterday, I said it began to answer some questions that I've had. And I've never really looked into it, I've just read it and think, oh well, the scripture says it was not the season for figs. Because I applied British logic to that, I thought, well, the fig season will be September time, this is April time. That's why there was no chance there's going to be figs on the tree when Jesus went, but there would have been. Because it wasn't quiet. It was harvest time, but it wasn't time for the tree to be harvested. That happened the following week during Passover. You know, Jesus would have been fully expecting to find fruit on a tree. And Jesus is fully expecting to find fruit on you and me.
Yeah.
And when He comes looking, let's give Him something that He can take. Rather than sort of looking at us and thinking, oh, what am I going to do with that one? Fruitless. Person. Now let's be fruitful, let's stay abiding in Him, attached to the vine, putting our faith and our confidence and our trust in the One from whom life comes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.